Hello guys, this is John Evans. Welcome to my YouTube channel.
Wait a second.
Yesterday I had a 2-foot session. Today I am at about a three, pushing at about 50%. Yeah.
Do you want to get my hat actually? Because it's really bright.
Of course,
out here.
Isaiah.
Thanks, Isaiah. Isaiah's gonna go get my hat because it's too bright. But we actually have something of relevance to share with you guys, and that is that we are gonna be doing a slightly different format. We've been talking about this for a little while, and the issue that was arising from basically me posting content and Isaiah posting content every day is we didn't know how we would each collectively, I wish you guys could see Isaiah running in the background. We didn't know how we were going to post every day on each of our channels respectively without double posting content. And the other issue we were running into is we didn't know how to add value for you guys, which is something that's really important to us. We don't want to bore you guys. We want this stuff to be useful. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Dad. Oh, I feel so much better. I can finally see. We wanted this to be useful, and we felt like that wasn't necessarily being done. And so basically what we're going to do is we're going to have a daily mini podcast. I'm probably going to do my ISOs during it. Isaiah may or may not do his ISOs during it.
Have a timer in 2 hours.
He has a timer in 2 hours. I'm about to train before, so I can do them. He can't. Well, he could technically, but it wouldn't be productive. And so, yeah, we're going to pick a topic, and we're going to talk about it. I'm going to put it up on the streaming platforms for you guys and also YouTube. And then if I do something relevant, I'll put it up
on
my
Apple and Spotify.
Yeah, we'll put it on everywhere.
It's back.
It's back. It's back again.
Yeah.
It's like a fifth time return, but
Seasons.
It's seasons. Yeah, we're like season 5, I think, at this point. Something,
I don't know. We're like manga creators or anime creators.
Yeah, they say it's over, but then they just make another one.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick a topic. I think Isaiah had a lot from his Q&A. I don't know, what did you cover today? Quite a bit?
It was a lot. I covered how frequently should you jump. I covered back pain.
Ooh. Did you cover PFP?
No, I didn't.
How about that segue?
Yeah.
So we got a question. I don't remember who it was from. Jared Wen, I think, is who asked, or something Wen. It wasn't Jared Wen.
I didn't see it.
It was on my YouTube. But he's like, we always hear for freaking PFP, don't do ISOs, but no one ever tells me how to fix it. I mean, part of me was kind of like, sounds like a you problem, but maybe you should get a coach for that. No, I'm kidding. Do you do this barefoot?
Yeah.
Really?
That doesn't hurt the sock.
I'll adjust it for you. Can you adjust my...
let go?
Wait, how do you do this?
You just have to really stuff it in there, like the sock.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then you got to make sure the padded part...
You should hold your mic, by the way. It'll sound better. If you do... Oh, wow. Oh, right, wow. Right there?
Yep.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice. You should hold your mic. It's going to sound better. But try not to go like this 1,000 times and click it.
Okay.
Which I know you like to do. So, yeah, we're going to do...
Time fidgeter.
A little bit. I'm going to do my ISOs during this. I don't know if this will be a regular thing, but I need to do them, so I'm going to do
fitting
them.
Fitting for a PFP podcast.
Ironic,
see,
actually.
I'm doing no ISOs to represent PFP.
Oh, you're...
I'm the PFP.
The physical embodiment of PFP.
Yeah.
And I'm the physical embodiment of
ISOs. We're
going to
have a tendon here, and then I'm going to be a cartilage.
All right, okay. So we'll cover, I guess, a little bit of the basic information about this because a lot of people don't even understand anything about it. So PFP just stands for patellofemoral pain. It just means pain between your patella, which is this bone, and the femur, which is here. So it doesn't really describe much. A lot of people will just say it's anterior knee pain. Look at research. That's what you're going to see. It's anterior knee pain. It is not a specific like diagnosis. It doesn't mean you have like an ACL tear. It could be an ACL tear. Maybe that causes anterior knee pain. It could be quad tendon pain. It could be chondromalacia. It could be a bunch of things. We typically use that term when we are referring to specifically chondromalacia. So Isaiah, do you want to explain what that is?
What chondromalacia is?
Are you familiar with what that is?
It's the wearing away of cartilage, correct?
Correct. Well done.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to add?
Usually it's the underside of the patella wearing away at the knee cartilage, and it's usually represented by a sharp pain at a specific position. So, like, I think the most typical one we see is in a quarter squat, and the reason being is you got the patella sitting in a groove, and then as you bend, part of the patella just stabs your cartilage and you go, ow.
Wow. Thanks, PFP. Thanks, physical embodiment of PFP.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's what PFP is. For a lot of our athletes, it happens when they've overjumped through pain for a really, really long time. I do think that you can have symptoms of chondromalacia for like a lot of different ways. I think it's also described as arthritis or a type of arthritis. If you go to like literature, don't quote me on that. I don't know. I wish we had Jamie. Where's Austin? We need a fact check guy. We always say that, but we don't have him. So that's another way that you can kind of check is like, ask yourself, if I had a period of time where I've jumped through pain for extended periods, and then am I having pain, not necessarily like on the tendon? And if you guys are watching this, you can see where I'm pointing. So it's like typical patellotendinopathy will be right below the kneecap. And then you can also get it like on the tibial tuberosity. Isaiah has like a big ass freaking bump where his is. So his happens either here, sometimes below it for you, right?
Nah, Austin is the one that feels it below.
I think that's a bone. I don't know why he feels it there.
Yeah.
But
mine's usually like right in there, boop, and like then, at the attachment.
Where's your PFP at usually, or your chondromalacia?
Right here.
On the like top?
At the top, and deep.
Yeah. So that's a way you can tell too, is like, where is the pain, you know? And how I think about it is like, if I had a pencil and I was like, I want this tip of the pencil, if I were to just stab it into my leg and somehow locate where it is, right? Let's say something sharper, like a scalpel. No, scalpels aren't that sharp.
An arrow.
Okay. But like, it's flaming hot. Like a hot knife through butter. And you could stab a hot poker. Yeah. And you could somehow stab exactly where it was, right? Let's say you're asleep for this so that you're not screaming in agony. But you would go underneath the kneecap to pinpoint it. It is typically pinpoint. It doesn't radiate or anything like that. And it feels like tiny little cuts in the bottom of your knee, right? Like sore.
Yeah.
Yours is sharp,
like
right?
Like sharp, like just...
Yours will stab in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good. So that is what it is. And
how
we fix
it. Right now, though.
Look at this guy.
Yeah, I don't feel it.
You want to tell those people how you hurt your meniscus? No, don't. You don't have to.
That'll be on the meniscus podcast.
That's on the meniscus podcast. I got to reposition my kettlebell. All right, so tell the people what you did to get rid of yours, how it started, and what you did to get rid of yours.
It started December 19th, 2019.
Are you serious?
I don't know the
exact I was like, bro.
It was somewhere in December. I think it would be pretty accurate, though.
That's actually crazy.
If you were to go look.
So right before COVID?
Yep, I had green hair.
Was Kobe alive?
He was alive.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had green hair at the time. There was no signs of any pain right there ever before it. I was doing a dunk session with Austin. I was trying the bounce dunk, and I was trying a lot of jumps, a lot of jumps. Probably jumped for like 2.5 hours. Then, directly after that, this is when Ben Patrick was very popular. Like, this is when he was like first becoming really popular. And I think I saw someone doing like heels elevated on a squat to get more depth, which isn't just the Ben Patrick thing. But I remember being like, oh, I should do that to get even lower, even though I already go low. I don't know why the hell.
I never knew this part of the story.
Yeah. So I went. It was heels elevated front squat. And I kid you not, I was already warm. So I think I put like 45s on the bar. And then like first rep, it was on the way down. Felt like I got stabbed on my right knee. And
ooh.
I think I tried another rep. Same stabbing pain. I didn't know what the hell was going on at the time. I thought it was tendinopathy because traditionally at the time people always said, and I think they still do say this. I don't think a lot of people actually aren't that good at coaching, PFP
or knee pain in general.
Yeah. Like I don't think I've ever seen, I think maybe Jake Tura is the only person I've seen mention
quad tendinopathy.
Like chondromalacia, like PFP.
Oh really? I've never even seen him really talk about it.
And then I've never seen anybody explain how to treat it. It's only a tendinopathy. But at the time, people always said patellotendinopathy is below the kneecap, quad is above the kneecap. It's always what people said. So at the time, I tried to treat it like tendinopathy. I would do isos in that position. Nothing. It made it way worse. Again, at the time, ATG was really popular. And I tried doing their reverse step downs, made it even worse.
Was I coaching you?
You were. I would just randomly try. This was before we went. This is.
Were you working?
Before we had the battle. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, we hadn't started. We hadn't started THP yet.
THP wasn't started?
No.
Like you didn't have. We didn't have the business.
No.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? This is interesting.
Yeah. I would like. Cause I would like mess around, like trying like random of things of his things.
Love it.
And yeah, nothing. Treating it like tendinopathy didn't work. Doing some of the ATG stuff didn't work. And then we eventually, this is how reverse Nordics started. John helped me find an ISO that didn't hurt. We decided to do bottoms up squats. I don't know if you, did you know about chondromalacia at the time? Because you.
I did. I knew about it, but I wasn't as well versed. I knew about PFP and yeah. I knew about injuries related to the knee that were not tendinous.
Because I think we just figured out it wasn't a tendon.
I was like, it's not a tendon. Yeah. We basically came to the conclusion. I was like, look, ISOs aren't working, so it cannot be a tendon. There's no way it's a tendon.
And then from there, John, we basically came up with an ISO that didn't flare it up. It was the reverse Nordics. I think you had said reverse Nordics might help it or something.
Well, reverse Nordics came about because I was talking to Thomas Kortenbeck, and he was like, hey, have you tried reverse Nordics, you know, because a Nordic hamstring curl, you go forward, reverse Nordic, you just go backwards. We're just reversing the knee pain away. So we're reverse engineering.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's try this. So he was the one that introduced to me. No one really doing them at the time. And you could fact check me on that. You go to 2019 and no one was really doing them. So I was like, all right, we'll try it. And I had done them before in some of my circuits, and you guys can see that too. I've done them since 2012, I think. Or no, I like 2010. I've done that in the Marcella circuit, which is Mike Young and Dan Paff and them. So I had done it, and I was like, well, I'll try it. I've had Isaiah do them in circuits before. He's never really had issues. I'll tell him to give it a try. So Isaiah tried it, didn't cause pain, and we just kind of maintained it. And Well, then COVID happens.
Yeah. So we did reverse Nordics, bottoms up squats, lots of sprinting. Sprinting, you're not, like, it's not enough flexion.
Oh, it was upright.
Yeah, upright
Wait,
sprinting.
Was upright
no
sprinting?
Excels. Yeah, no
okay,
excels.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We upright sprinting. We did these skater bounds.
Because they're lateral?
Yeah, skater bounds, because again, like, the position that hurts is, like, it's like getting right there, that angle. So skater bounds is not a lot of knee bend. We did that. And then over time, I mean, I was doing bottoms up with like 315 or something, or almost 315.
We were still loading.
Yeah.
We didn't unload.
Loading really heavy. And then...
Were you pulsing at this time?
Yeah, it was the pulsating
bottoms up squats. So this is something else too. When we say bottoms up, people think pin squats. So they'll touch the pins and then come up. The key was taking out the painful range of motion. Once we figured out it wasn't a tendon, I was like, okay, we can do ice as long as it doesn't bother it, but we need to load this around the painful range of motion without actually touching the painful range of motion. Because I was like, oh, it's slide and glide. Like, the cartilage is gliding past this, and there's at some range of motion it's hurting, so we're just going to load around that because loading the tissue was not helping. I remember that. We were like, we had tried squatting through it at like any weight and it got worse.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, well, that's not the solution. And then we took it out, and then what happened? Well, that range of motion, I guess.
Yeah, we took the painful range of motion completely out, and then it just gradually started getting better. One day, maybe after 2 months, I think, it was about 2 months, we added just the bar, full depth squat, hurt a little bit, but it warmed up to where it was pain-free. And then I just slowly loaded my squat back up, and eventually I was able to go heavy. Then we added power cleans, which can also be pretty provocative because you catch in that position where it hurts. And we just slowly loaded everything. And from there, I was basically pain-free. And the main things I avoided was, even since then, I never jumped right-left, never did off-vert stuff because, like, that stuff would always be provocative. And then, yeah, just train the next 4 years
with those mostly. Changes.
yeah,
the big thing is
I never completely got rid of it.
No, and that's the thing too, is like, it's one of those things that honestly, if you have it, you might have to deal with some discomfort and pain. Like, but it's going to ebb and flow. And this is kind of true of tendons. Like, you're going to have a little bit of soreness. You're going to have a little bit of aches and pains, but it's about being able to go into your session, jump 100% without it impeding you, and then come out of that session with minimal levels of pain.
And
or just
to make sure it's not getting worse.
Yeah, you don't want it. The biggest thing is you don't want it to get so bad that you can't function in life. That's really where it's like, okay, you're actually like kind of hurting yourself, I would say. And big picture, if I was like, hey, here are like three things that were going to help, I would say one, take out the isos. Two, don't grind away the cartilage more by overloading it. That's probably the most important thing. And three is you still want to load it inside of pain-free ranges of motion. Four would be loaded every other day. I think that's...
Oh, yeah, back to the back, that's like...
We tried load management, that's why. Because load management setups, you want to load it every day. Like, you want to do... Like, if you're... Like, what I'm doing right now, right? I jumped yesterday, I'm doing isos today for my knee. If it was PFP, I absolutely would not do that.
What's interesting for me, I've always been able to jump left, right. Like, the throwing a lob is actually more provocative. If you look at when I do lobs,
yeah,
like, I'm like I do a jump. I jump twice, and for every jump I do, like, I, like, do a little, like, and I've always been able to jump left, right, but as soon as, if I were to do, like, a really heavy squat session and then jump, like, the next day or right, like, two off vert days in a row or two right left days in a row, that's when things are not good. And it can get really, really pissed off.
As an aside, my right quad is absolutely flamed.
From that right left session?
Yeah. Like, I'm, like, doing it, and it feels, like, swollen. Like, you know that sensation you get right before a muscle's about to pull? You know? Yeah. Like, you feel the intensity kind of build up, and then you're like, oh, should I push harder? And then you do, and then it, like, feels worse, but you keep pushing anyways, and then finally it pulls.
Yeah.
That's, like, the sensation it's giving me in those deep ranges of motion. I'm going to stay away from those. But I definitely am having that sensation.
I think I said yesterday, I was like, you're going to be sore.
Yeah, my right butt cheek.
Yeah.
Right? So your left butt cheek always gets sore too?
Science and practice strength training. You want to see what muscles are specific? Do something. Like don't do it for a couple weeks and then do the activity and whatever sore is what muscles you use primarily.
So my lats are really sore and my rhomboids, my traps.
That's probably from trying tricks.
My right trap is really sore. My left trap isn't that sore. It's a little sore, but it's more like rhomboid. And then... My rhomboids are sore in general. Traps are a little sore. My upper back is a little sore, like, in general.
What's nuts is, what, it was a 40-minute session?
Yeah, 45, yeah.
Think about, like...
No, fuck no.
The 3 hours gauntlets.
Yeah, no way. And then I felt my right glute yesterday. It feels pretty good today. Everything else feels pretty good. My right quad is a little sore, too. And I'm going to do... Oh, for my lift, I'm doing a feel-good lift. Isaiah's finished his...
I'm going to do upper body.
He's finished his hypertrophy cycle. He's on a deload.
Yeah.
So he should.
Easy upper body.
Do you think you're going to test over 50 this week? Are you going to test?
If I am not sick, yeah, I want to bring a Vertec.
Yes. I'm excited. Where are you bringing it? Goldenrod?
Goldenrod, yeah.
You're going to Goldenrod? Yeah. Oh, my God. Goldenrod on a deload?
Yeah.
What are the rim heights at Goldenrod now?
9.5 and 9.10.
There you have it, folks. This could be a big...
Or no, I think it's 9.9 3/4 and then 9.10 and a half. Anything else there or no?
Okay, so that's gonna be a show.
Yeah, interesting day.
I'm excited to film on Friday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, baby.
And Austin's gonna be deloaded too.
Oh dude, are you gonna be able to do a podcast before you dunk on Friday?
Let's do a driving one.
Oh, we could
Let's
do that.
Let's drive together.
Yeah, we could do that. That's a good idea.
You guys will see me in my full caffeinated glory.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I'm gonna ingest inhuman
inhumane amounts of caffeine.
Yeah.
What time are you going?
We're going early. Austin's skipping class.
What?
Yeah.
That's high pressure. So he shouldn't do that. He's adding pressure to himself,
yeah.
Which is never good for him. At least
there's,
I don't think
so. There's two types of people. Ones that where diamonds are created, and other ones where you become that submarine that imploded.
Oh, my God. 20 people died. Something like
you
that.
You know a bridge just collapsed in Maryland with cars on it?
Put your mic up. No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Where?
In Maryland.
Like, where in Maryland? My brother lives in Maryland.
I don't know.
I'll have to call him and ask. That's probably not good for his mental health. He's already stressing about
death. Oh, about the shortness of life.
Yeah, the shortness of life.
Maryland.
And now he's probably like, yeah, you really don't know.
By the way, if you guys want to get coached by us.
Oh, yeah. Go to teachmestrength.com and sign up for coaching if you want this level of expertise, right? All those other posers, they can't touch us. Dun, 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 dun.
Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Where's that at, Maryland? At least Interstate 695 unaccounted
over the Patapsco River.
Wow. That's a scary-ass river, too. That's scary. All right. Anyways, on that note, see you guys later. Peace out, A-Town.
Peace out.